This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. The big storm has moved off to the east. We've got 48 degrees at O'Hare with drizzle right now, 46 at the lakefront. And the five-day forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by U Chicago Medicine. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, across the board, we're seeing losses of about a third of a percent now. The Dow down 89 points in the benchmarks at 23,320, NASDAQ losing 22 points, and the S&P lower by 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is giving back about a tenth of a percent. Headed into the heart of the holiday shopping season, consumers are showing resilience. Retail sales expanded in October at a 0.2% pace. That was stronger than expected and follows an already impressive September jump that was revised even higher to 1.9%. And when we shop, we are paying more. Core inflation with food and energy taken out accelerated last month on an annual basis for the first time since January. We may not like those higher prices, but for the Fed, debating an interest rate hike, it is welcome news. Consumer prices rose the expected 0.1% in October. Stripping out food and energy, the so-called core CPI rose 0.2%, and that results in a 1.8% annual increase, edging closer to the Fed's 2% target. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
On today's Noon Business Hour, economist Diane Swonk will join us. We'll talk about the latest data and also tax reform. And as we gear up for the holidays, we're discussing how to control our Christmas spending.
What to do if there is ever a data breach in which your information gets shared. We'll talk to you about that. And Personal Finance Wednesday, some financial rules to take away some of your financial worry. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Republicans are tweaking their tax reform bill, and there is a cartload of data out today. We're joined by Diane Swonk, economist, founder of DS Economics at DianeSwonk.com here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Diane. Give us an overview of what we're learning from today's data.
Well, from today's data, we saw some of the recoil from what we saw with the surge in spending that followed the hurricanes and disasters, the fires out in California. And so retail sales were solid after really strong gains in the month of September, but not spectacular. And that's because they came off of really strong gains. What we saw is consumers, particularly in building materials, after they dealt with repairs and stuff, that came back a bit, contracted a bit in the month of October. But spending on Halloween is just a really super big holiday. Core retail sales up 0.3% after rising 0.5% last month. People are going out and spending on food. They're spending out at restaurants, at bars. And I think it's really important to note we're seeing not just the replacement and repairs associated with all the storms out there. Remodeling is up. Spending on furniture and appliances is doing strong. This holiday season is really going to be marked by the fact that people are putting money into their homes again.
Diane, what are you watching in the tax reform process?
You know, it's a little chaotic. I just got back from Washington, and everyone I know who's into the process says it's terrible, and they don't like the kinds of additions it means for the deficit, all the temporary stuff. This is not really how to do things, and they're trying to do it so quickly and sort of hurry up and hope nobody will look at it. And in doing that, they're going to be affecting millions and millions of lives, and this is just not the way to think about it. We need to think about our tax system in the context of the whole ecosystem of our budget, which is in deficit. We have a big debt and deficit right now, and the deficits are growing, and this is just going to add to that. And I think that's where the real problem lies. We do need to make some really common sense decisions about both the tax code, reforms of the corporate tax code, making it easier for individuals as well. We also have to think about what do we want and where our priorities as a nation and where we spend our money. And having automatic cuts kick in on Medicaid and Medicare is not thinking about it. It's letting the process take over, and it's going to affect a lot of people.
As you were in Washington and have visited Washington quite a bit. Does it seem to you that that's sort of how things have changed, where the process now is let's just hurry up and get something done, because otherwise you have different factions that end up being upset if you're going to cut their area?
Well, you know, that is the process should be. It's a sausage making. It's ugly. It takes time to do it right. Remember, 86 tax reforms took 3 years or more, 10 years in the making. So, you know, and it should be bipartisan. These are things that affect everybody's lives. We have to come to some consensus on them. And there is a sort of sense of maybe if we do it quickly, these big things will be easier because you won't get as many special interests and vested interests in the way. And all the lobbyists, believe me, all the lobbyists in Washington, it's hard to get a room in Washington these days because of all the lobbyists there. But, you know, the real issue is we're still making decisions about the future of our country and a future for our children. And that seems to be just sort of not being taken into account. You see people more focusing on ideology than the reality of what do these policies really mean. And let's think about both the unintended and the intended consequences that we have on these policies. And that's just getting lost in translation.
And you're right, Diane. There are a lot of people impacted by these decisions. Thanks for joining us. Always appreciate your insight. It's great. Diane Swonk, economist and founder of DS Economics. You can find her online at dianeswonk.com. Coming up, Personal Finance Wednesday, getting control of that holiday spending early.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour. The holidays can be a dangerous time for bank accounts. Let's get some help in keeping things under control. Kelly Long is joining us, a financial planner with Financial Finesse here in Chicago. Kelly, one of the things that I'm wondering about, and we have several that we're going to go through with you here today, but for parents of young children, is it a good idea just to leave the kids at home when you go shopping?
Absolutely. I mean, on one hand, having your kids could make you keep you on task to get you out of there quicker, but they're probably more likely to tempt you into buying something to keep them from misbehaving. So if you can't afford a babysitter or leave your partner at home with the kids, then that's probably your best bet.
One of the surprising ones that I saw on this list is not actually touching the items, looking but not touching. Tell us about that.
That's a key sales tactic, actually. Any retail salesperson will tell you if you can get the person to pick up the item, they suddenly sense ownership and want to buy it more. So the more you're fingering clothes and touching bracelets and, you know, picking up that beautiful scarf, the more likely you are to buy. So just make it a habit to keep your hands to yourself if you want to stay in control.
I like the psychology lesson here, Kelly. If a salesperson is rude to you, that in some way works on you that you should be buying this clothing.
Right. It's like the pretty woman effect. The ruder someone is, the more you feel like you have to have that high-end item. So beware that if a snotty salesperson might be making you want to buy something more, that's a key reason to walk out. Do not reward that behavior.
And what is the left digit effect?
That's the anchoring that the first digit creates. So, for example, when you're looking at a price that's $6.99, you're going to think $6 when, in fact, it's closer to $7. So just be aware of that anchoring and be honest with yourself about how much you're actually spending.
And is that, I mean, not to diss retailers, but is that one of the reasons why instead of pricing something at, say, $4, they'll price it at $3.99?
Oh, absolutely. There are countless tricks the retailers use to get you to part with your dollars, and that's one of them.
Let's talk about bulk buying, because this isn't necessarily holiday items in a sense of the things that you need around the house, but there are things that we buy in bulk. Is it a good idea to limit which items we buy in bulk?
Absolutely. You really only want to buy those things that you are going to need immediately. So, for example, that even 10 for $10 can seem like a good deal because, hey, it's only a dollar a piece. But if you only need two of those items, then you're wasting $8. So only buy those volume if you're actually planning to use all 10.
Let's talk about how you can balance your budget in just a few sentences.
Sure. It turns out that doing a balancing activity actually helps you to weigh things more equally. So maybe go to yoga before you go shopping, and that could actually help you save money.
I'll try that.
Yeah, so you're talking balance in a sense of not just feeling good about yourself and having your body feeling good and just sort of being in control in
balance in your life.
Yeah.
And actually having to have balanced yourself physically will actually lead to your mind feeling more balanced and saying, do I really need to buy that?
More of us are shopping online, and it seems just so easy to click on that button and have it shipped to the house. Is that a challenge as you try to avoid spending too much?
Yes, there's a reason Amazon has the buy now, buy with one click, because they know you'll do it. Instead, think about either putting it on your wish list or putting it on the buy later. There's even an app for that or an extension called Put It On Ice that will allow you to think twice about something, and just creating that separation of 24 hours can make you rethink an impulse purchase.
Kelly, thanks for joining us today, and good luck on your holiday shopping. Kelly Long is financial planner with Financial Finesse here in Chicago. Up next, the latest numbers from Wall Street.
WBBM News Time 12:25. All the latest look at the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we're seeing the losses accelerate a bit now. The Dow down 106 points with losses approaching 0.5%, and the benchmark is now at 23,300. NASDAQ falling 27 points, S&P down 10. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is giving back more than 0.1%. Papa John's stock has fallen 14% since the beginning of the month after the chain's CEO said NFL players and their protest should have been nipped in the bud last year. Papa John's now saying it did not intend to be divisive and that it supports the right to protest inequality. The company goes on to say it also believes we should honor our anthem, and there is a way to do both. Stock in Papa John's after that announcement falling another 2% today. Whole Foods will cut the price of its organic turkey to $3.49 a pound, and even more for Prime members. It's a series of new price cuts at Amazon-owned Whole Foods, and like the first round, it's sending shares of other grocery sellers lower. We've got a check of the grains markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And at the Chicago Board of Trade, we have corn for December up 1.25 at 3.38 1/4, been in a 2 cent range. January beans are 9.77 1/4, up 9 1/2. They've been up 10 to down 9 off of that even. And we have wheat for March down 6 1/2 at 4.38 1/2, 3 off its low and 7 off its high. Mixed prices, corn and beans higher, wheat lower. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti for News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are in the red today. We'll see what's dragging on the markets.
On this Personal Finance Wednesday, basic financial rules that can put you on the track to prosperity.
Also on the finance front, how to protect yourself after a credit card data breach.
City of Chicago has broken ground on the latest section of the Navy Pier flyover designed to relieve pedestrian and bicycle congestion.
The latest version of the Republican Senate tax bill includes a repeal of the Obamacare requirement that all Americans get health insurance.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow down 106, the NASDAQ off 30, S&P 500 down by about 11.
Well, on the weather front, we have the rain moving out of Chicagoland, some clouds left behind, but AccuWeather says we will get some sunshine later today. High of 50 degrees. We're almost there. Right now, it is 48. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Classic Draperies.
Well, the markets are lower this hour. We are joined by Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading, author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Michael, good to have you back on the Noon Business Hour. The markets are lower today, but they've done so well for so many months. How would you rate this?
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Cisco, and thanks for having me on. This is just a minor pullback. We've had some sluggishness in the market, in the U.S. stock market, for the last couple of weeks. But in the grand scheme of things, we're talking about 1% or 2% loss in a year that the market is up 15% for the year. So it's really just a minor pullback at this point. So nothing to be too concerned about right now. When I was on the show last a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that the market is fully valued here. So it's not going to be easy money going straight up from here. It's hard to believe that will continue. And right now we've just had a minor pullback.
What kind of calculated risk would an investor take at this point?
Well, I have been a proponent for a long time now, ever since we've had this run up even a couple years ago, to get more diversified, because in times like this you could have a correction, you could have a recession that is very hard to predict but could happen, and I advocate to investors to please be diversified so that you don't have all your eggs in one basket. You're not all just long U.S. stocks in case the U.S. stock market has a pullback. Have some bonds. Have some gold in your portfolio. The best thing to do is to stay nimble, stay diversified, and be ready for a possibility that the market could correct.
When you talk about diversification, do you also mean different types of stocks as well? I'm thinking growth versus income.
Certainly. Within that stock portfolio, you want to be diversified, even because a single industry, let's take a look at retail, for example. Right, this year, retail has had a terrible year. And, you know, if you had all your stocks in retail, you could have picked some of the best ones. Other than Amazon, they really haven't had a very good year. So that's a great example of, you know, have some airlines, have a bank or two. You know, try to pick your best of breed for a few different industries so that you don't have a bet on one single industry.
Speaking of retail, let's talk about Target. Didn't actually report bad earnings, yet the stock is down big time today, about 10%. What's going on with Target?
Yeah, that's a great call. The sales and earnings came in above expectations. Same-store sales were above. The problem was the guidance. You know, they came out and they said that fourth quarter is going to be below what the market anticipated. Now that, as you know, fourth quarter includes Christmas, the holiday season, so that's a big, big quarter for them. So you couple that with the fact that the company's in the midst of a major restructuring, refurbishing their current stores, maybe going into grocery, adding some private label brands. They have a lot on their plate, and I think the market is very concerned that Target is in a niche that's not very viable. They're kind of stuck in between Walmart and Amazon, and when you're competing with those two companies, they're two of the most aggressive, well-run retailers in the world. So the market is concerned that Target might be the one left out when they're competing with companies like Walmart and Amazon.
Michael, when we're talking about diversification and taking risk, would risk also include dipping into Bitcoin?
Well, you know, I've never had so many people ask me about Bitcoin than I have in the last month. And you can look at that as a contrarian indicator that maybe this is a time that you should be cautious. But certainly it's run up from $200 a few years ago to about $6,000 or so. It varies between $5,000 and $7,000 in the last few weeks. It's very volatile. There's nothing wrong with having that as a small portion of your portfolio, and certainly it would have been a huge winner. But you know, at the prices it's at now, you have to have a good reason. You have to understand why do you think it's going to go up? You know, and also then even if you're confident in its direction, I would just make it, you know, something like a 2-5% maximum part of your portfolio, just because of how volatile it is.
Yeah, and Mike, I mean, what if it goes to a million? You know, I mean,
it could go to zero. That's the problem. And I'd like to hear somebody explain to me which is going to happen and why, because it does have a gold characteristic in that it has no earnings, it has no cash flow, so you can't, it's very hard to value because of this. Warren Buffett's always said, you know, he doesn't like having gold because it has no earnings. So, but yet gold over the last, you know, 100 years pretty much has gone straight up. Will that happen to Bitcoin? Well, time will tell, but you can have, the big thing about Bitcoin is it's a play on what they call blockchain. Okay, so blockchain is a technology that is going to happen, and it is happening before our eyes, but you can have blockchain, without getting into a serious discussion here, but real quick, you can have blockchain without having Bitcoin be a part of it. So blockchain can happen, and yet Bitcoin could go to zero. Or like you said, it could go to a million. And honestly, I don't like advocating names like that, people getting involved in that, especially just, your average investor that really, let's face it, is not going to have enough information to make a rational decision on something like that.
So, yeah, if you could just tell me which one, whether it's going to go to zero or a million. I mean, I'd appreciate that.
Just whisper it.
Yeah. We'll talk off air and you can let me know. All right.
That sounds good.
All right, Mike. Thanks. Michael Palumbo joining us, founder of Third Millennium Trading, author of the book Calculated Risk. But he's not really going to talk to us off the air about it. Okay.
No,
I just want to make sure we're clear
that
about that. Okay.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour. Having a solid money plan is a key to achieving financial security. Let's talk about some of the basic rules with Christine DeGangi, managing editor at MagnifyMoney.com, based in Charlotte. Christine, we have several of them here. These financial rules really designed to help people sleep better at night. One of them is an old standby, simply spend less money than you bring in.
Yeah, well, and it's funny that you say simply, because I think a lot of people would say that's not very simple, but it is really important, because if you are spending more than you earn, you're going to have a lot of trouble dealing with emergencies or saving for retirement, and it is really crucial to pay attention to your budget so that you know that you have more money coming in than you have going out.
And you mentioned budget. I mean, obviously, that's got to be part of this, right? A spending plan so that you can see on paper just how much you're bringing in and how much is going out.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everyone what system they want to use, but more than anything, you just need to pay attention, whether that's collecting your receipts, using some sort of app to track your purchases, or just using that mobile app that you have from your bank to check and see where all your money's going. Or you can set up alerts from all of your debit cards and credit cards, so you get a text every time you spend. That awareness is really important so that you can feel the impact of each purchase.
Well, one of your recommendations is pretty simple. Institute a 24-hour rule for big purchases. What does that entail?
That means, so you're on Amazon and you're deciding if you wanted to buy, furniture or a piece of artwork or a gift, whatever, and just put it in your cart, hold on to it, come back to it 24 hours later and just, think, do I really need this? Do I really want this? How else could I be spending this money? It really takes away that impulse buy. And the nice thing is, lots of times with online shopping, you don't have to, go back out to the store. It's really something that you can take the time to do so that you're not making a purchase in the moment that you're going to regret later.
And is it something, especially on a major purchase, that you would want to have your spouses checking in on it?
Sure. I mean, every relationship is different, but communication about money is really important because money problems are a huge contributor to divorce. And so communicating about those big purchases, some couples set rules of if you're going to spend more than $50, if you're going to spend more than $100, let the other person know so that you guys aren't, catching somebody else off guard and, taking away money that should really be used for something else. Communication is really key.
Thanks so much for the great insight, Christine DeGangi, managing editor, MagnifyMoney.com. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday, still to come. What to do if you find yourself the victim of a data breach?
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Forever 21 is the latest retailer to announce that it has experienced a credit card data breach. Let's talk again about how we can protect ourselves in that kind of situation. We're joined by Bill Hardikoff, CEO at LowCards.com in Birmingham, Alabama. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Bill. What do we do if we suspect we might be in that situation?
Well, this sure seems to be happening a lot, doesn't it, Chris?
You bet.
What we need to do is be very vigilant about protecting our data, but if you fear that your data has been compromised, you need to check your credit card statements regularly to make sure that there's no strange transaction. You could set up text alerts on your card, maybe even email alerts if you'd rather have that. Then every time a charge is made, you'll get a text or an email saying, hey, here's a transaction. And if something looks weird, you can call the credit card company. You can also set up a fraud alert, which is free, by contacting one of the credit reporting agencies. That way, if anybody tries to open up a line of credit, the retailer has to verify your identity before they issue new credit. Or you could set up a credit freeze. Costs you some money to do that. probably $10 at each of the three reporting agencies, but that will prevent any account being opened in your name.
This has been a kind of a widespread problem for months now. Why can't we prevent something like this?
Well, you know, there are loopholes in any security system, and hackers and fraudsters and thieves are very smart people. These are not dumb people at all. They find a way to get into the system. It might be human error that causes it, or it might be some type of loophole. And what ends up happening is when that door is opened, they run right through it. And people are trying to get into companies' data files 24 hours a day, and they'll work to do that. And that's what's causing this problem.
You talk about being vigilant. Is that one of the challenges with this? Is as a breach after breach after breach is announced, people just they sort of feel worn down, like there's nothing they can do.
Well, I think yes, that's very true. You know, there are studies out that when the Home Depot data breach happened, you know, 6-8 months ago, that people didn't even bat an eye. We're becoming immune to this. And it's sad to say, and it's very sad to see, too. We need to make sure we're checking our credit card accounts and our credit reports. We all get a free credit report every year from each of the three credit reporting agencies. You should get those credit reports, look at them, and make sure nothing is strange on them, that no one has opened up any strange credit line in your name.
Thanks so much, Bill Hartikoff, CEO of LowCards.com. We'll get an update of the markets from Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's wrap up the markets today, sponsored by Chicago ENT. And here is Lisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, the Dow is now sinking 126 points, a loss of more than 0.5%, and the benchmark's back down to 23,280. NASDAQ falling 28 points, S&P down 12. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is lower by 0.25%. No break for Target. It revealed twice the expected sales growth during the back-to-school quarter, but its forecast for the holidays leaves a lot to be desired, and coupled with its price war with Walmart and spending on renovation, Target shares are sinking 8.5%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Alisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.